Two Guys, One Rail Podcast.
G'day guys, welcome back to Two Guys, One Rail Podcast. I'm your host Kevin, and I'm doing a solo review of the movie Until Dawn. Until Dawn is directed by David F. Sandberg, and it is a loosely adaptation to the video game Until Dawn on PlayStation. So, is Until Dawn worth your time and money to go see in the cinema, or wait till streaming services? I'm here to let you know, so let's get into it. So I will give you a brief overview of the story of Until Dawn. Clover and her friends on a trip to where they just think they're going to go around having a look at things. And little to Clover's friends know that they're actually looking for Clover's sister, Melanie, who went missing a few years ago. Along their trip, they come across a gas station where they're pointed to a place called Glore Valley. It's a remote abandoned mining town. And this is where they come across a visiting center where everything isn't as it seems. So that is a brief overview of the story. And this movie is well done in its ability to scare you. Like, I'm very happy of going to see this in the cinema. I think it is a very good horror film. It is a supernatural horror, and everything is just spot on in my opinion. David knows what he's doing when it comes to horror films. He is a director of Annabelle's Creation, and which I find in the Conjuring universe to be one of the scariest movies in that series. And this one holds up to that quite a bit. Like, there's no boring bits in my opinion, and I didn't feel bored. I was on the edge of my seat and the scares kept going and I was jumping. That's what you want from a horror film. You want to be scared. You want to jump. You want to look away. It's great. Great movie. So I'm going to go into some pros and cons of this movie, which I think are pretty valid. So the pros I find is this is a definition of a horror film. The gore was really well done. Not over the top. Like, it looked realistic in my opinion. Just like, you know, the body horror was there and it just looked real. And that's what you want. You don't want something that looks too gimmicky, fakey. It looked really well done. And the blood was fantastic. It wasn't too watery. It wasn't too, you know, too ultra bright. It was dark. It was great. And it made it feel realistic in the scenes when it counted. Each scene, when it builds up your tension, keeps it going. The tension building in this movie was fantastic. You did have a bit of a break at times, but not too much. And that's what I like. I don't like horror films where it builds you up, and then nothing. Builds you up. Nothing, then nothing, nothing, nothing. Build up. This one has a constant flow, which is fantastic. Hands off to David. The variety of villains in this movie is fantastic. Usual horror films, they have like one serial killer or something like that. No, this has a variety of things, which is great. It's very unpredictable in that way. And the variety of killings is fantastic as well. It wasn't boring. There's nothing being repeated. And that's what's great. Like, it was just like, whoa, okay. We're doing that. That's fantastic. Like, it was something that I was not expecting. The story itself was very easy for me to follow. It was great. And I wasn't confused on why this was happening and what's not happening. And the explanation of why things were happening was fantastic as well. The jump scares themselves were great. They held up very well and they keep coming. And that's what I loved about this movie the most. Like, I wanted to go see this movie to be scared. So cons of this movie, there wasn't too many cons in my opinion. I can't really fault too much. This is, I feel like, upcoming movie stars are coming up to make big films now. So some of these actors, I didn't know who they were from the mainstream movies that you see. I don't recognize them as much, which is good. That's a good thing because I thought the acting was pretty well done. Here and there was a bit hit and miss, but it's not a big con. So the pros outweigh the cons fantastically. So with the casting, we have Ella Rubin, who plays Clover, Michael Camino plays Max, Odessa Azian plays Nina, Ja Young Ho Yo, who plays Megan, we got Mia Mitchell, plays Melanie, we got Belmont Camille, plays Abe, and Peter Stormare plays Dr. Hill, which Peter Stormare is an established actor. And their characters were great. The chemistry between the characters I felt were pretty good. Like, nothing felt really forced. Some jokes, you know, how some scary movies have like slight jokes here and there. Some jokes were okay. Some were like, you know, giggled at, which is great. But it wasn't too many of them, which is fantastic. You don't want something that was too, not stupid, but comes off that way. And this didn't come off that way. This came off very smart, actually, which is a lot of like in horror films. The cast members in this, so the characters like Clover, Max, Nina, Megan, and Abe, are really well done together. Like, don't like horror films that where the characters are stupid. They do stupid decisions. They do this. This is great. They actually explore the world and try different things, and it's fantastic. And they are aware of the situation. Like, it's an aware horror film. Like, they see a situation, they're like, that's not nope, not doing that. And I like that because I'm like, it's aware and I'm fantastic. So that is my general consensus of this review. I am going to go into some spoilers and talk about the spoilers a bit. There wasn't a few things to talk about when it comes to spoilers. So if you don't want to listen to the spoiler section, just stop now, go see the movie and come back. Or if you don't mind listening to spoilers and you're kind of guessing what they are, then stick around for the spoiler section. But in my opinion, go see this movie. This would not disappoint you. Unless you're a hardcore fan of the video game, it might be a mixed bag, but if you like horror by itself, go see this movie. You will not be disappointed and it is worth your money. So what rating would I give Until Dawn? And with this, I went with one of my daughters and she loved it. She was scared and she jumped a lot just like I did. So it was great. And she really enjoyed this. Well, I'm going to base my rating off that as well. When both parties enjoy it, that's worth a good rating. And I'm going to give this a 8.5 popcorn buckets based on the horror aspect of being a horror film, of just sticking true to what it is and not being predictable and tropey to other horror films. So that is the official rating of this movie, 8.5 popcorn buckets. Thank you for listening, everyone. And like I said before, stick around for the spoiler section. If not, go see the movies. It is in cinemas now. All right, I'll see you in the next one. So while everyone else is gone, let's get into the spoiler section. Here we go. The basic premise of this movie is they go to Glor Valley, where they find the visitor center, which is a house, and they go in and then they realize that they are stuck in a time loop, which was made by, I'm not sure why, it doesn't really explain why, unless I did miss it, because this whole town, Glor Valley, is a abandoned mining town, which was had a big mining disaster which sunk the town into the ground, but doesn't explain why there's a time loop though. Unless I did miss it, I'm not sure if I did. That part wasn't completely explained, but it was really good. So when Clover goes to this gas station to try to look for her sister and where her friends get gas, she comes across a clerk, the worker at the gas station, who is Dr. Hill, who's played by Peter Stormare. But you don't know it's Dr. Hill. His name is Hill. And he tells Clover that there people do go missing up the road in this town. So he kind of edges them to go there. And when they do, they get stuck in this visitor center. Nina finds out the guest book for this visitor center is signed by Melanie, Clover's sister, and other people, where they are signed multiple times over and over. And then they find out that, yeah, it's a loop. So there's a sort of that sort of thing. Another, not a spoiler, but an interesting thing was the director was David F. Sandberg. They had this wall in the visitor center, had a bunch of missing people photos, and he had his photo on there, which I thought was cool. I picked it up straight away because I was looking at it. That was pretty cool. The variety of the monsters, there was a guy in a mask, which is like a typical serial killer sort of guy, like a one. Then you got a Wendigo, a witch. There's a fourth one. Sort of like a zombie. I'd call it a zombie in a way. And so those are your variety of monsters, which is pretty great. And they do different styles of killings, which is fantastic. And there is this one monster that is in the woods that when Abe and Nina try to escape to go get help the rest of their friends, they see this giant monster in the woods. I'm pretty sure it's just there to keep them from leaving, which is interesting, but they didn't touch on it. They just seen it, they freaked out and went back, and no one ever touched on it again, which I was like, okay. I was like, what the hell was that? But okay. And over time they slowly figure out how to break this time loop. Basically, to break the time loop, someone must stay in the loop to die when the rest and everyone else has to make it until dawn. That's pretty much the premise of how to break out of this, which is cool. It's a difference, a very unique style in a way. I mean, in the movie itself, Max points out that there's different movies that do this premise of reliving time or the same night over and over, which is very clever. It's a very self-aware movie, which I like, and they make a bit of light to that, which is great. And also when everyone gets killed and they come back, so everyone has to die for the next day to restart. So after everyone dies and restarts, how they got killed, you can see it on their bodies for a brief period of time when they come back. Max gets stabbed in the eye with a broken piece of a chair. And when he comes back, you see like he's got a black eye and other people have different things that happen to him. And it's pretty, that, I thought that was clever. I'm like, that's really cool. And they remember how they died too, which is pretty crazy in a way. That'd be more scary. And also Dr. Hill is behind all this, which I don't know if I touched on before. If I did, I'm sorry for repeating, but don't feel like it was explained completely as to why. But Dr. Hill is the main villain in this movie. And he explains to Clover that all the monsters, everything she sees, is her sort of psyche manifesting itself. So this town feeds off of your fear. And that's how it keeps you wanting to escape. Because the more, yeah, it was explained that if you get killed the same way over and over, the scare factor disappears. And this is explained in my movie by Megan, who she says that. So this lives off fear. So if you get killed the same way, you lose that fear. So this time loop stage, it keeps the changing it up. So you're always scared, which is fantastic. And throughout the movie, a lot of things happen. And at the end, so when Clover tries to escape and try to find Megan, and when she does, she runs into Dr. Hill's office, and Dr. Hill's there, who confronts her and tells her, your friends are going to die. There's nothing you can do. You need to save them. So basically he wants her to sacrifice herself, but he's drinking this cup of coffee. And in this town, the water there makes you explode, which is really unexpected. So there's a dripping pipe and Clover sees this. Dr. Hill puts his coffee down and he's going on about things, and Clover inches it over to the drip and a couple of drops of water fall into it and she moves it away. And Dr. Hill doesn't notice this and he drinks it and basically explodes, which then that is the whole sacrificing one person to save the rest. So now he explodes, he's dead, and now Clover and her friends have to survive until dawn, which they do. Basically breaks the cycle, they get back in the car and they leave. And that's pretty much the end of the movie, which is pretty good. It's a pretty good ending. So after that, you see a TV monitors that were set up in Dr. Hill's office when Clover goes in there. So you see them, you see images of a similar house with on snow, and then you see a car pull up, and then you hear Dr. Hill whistling a tune. And when you hear this tune the first time, is when he whistles the same tune at the gas station. So, which means repeats that Dr. Hill is still alive. And he, and it's the cycle continues, which is great how it keeps going. So there's no stopping it in a way. And another nod to the video game is that Dr. Hill is a different doctor in this. Like when Clover's looking for clues on how to stop everything, she finds his tags, ID tags, sorry, of different professions of different doctors within this town. So he's like this whole over person of this town. And also another thing is, if you stay in this town long enough, so if you don't survive till dawn, you keep dying over and over, you become a monster yourself. So you become like a Wendigo. So your body changes, which is leads to the body horror of this movie. So that's pretty much all the spoilers that I think were pretty the main ones. They're with the monsters in the video game. I think there was a werewolf. I read things about there's werewolves around this, but in the movie there wasn't a werewolf, unless, again, I'm pretty sure I didn't miss it or I didn't recognize it as a werewolf. But there was a drawing of a werewolf, so that's a nod to the video game as well, I'm pretty sure. Don't know why they didn't put a werewolf in. I thought that'd be pretty cool. Maybe wasn't scary enough, I don't know. But yeah, there was no werewolf in this. Oh no, sorry, there might have been a nod to it where Max, with his body change, and he had long sharp fingernails, but I don't know if that's towards a werewolf or not. But everyone, that concludes the spoilers section. Again, if you haven't seen this movie, go out and see it. Praise to David F. Sandberg for directing this. He makes horror films fantastic. All right guys, that concludes my Until Dawn movie review. Thank you for listening, and if you've gotten this far, please check out our social medias. We've got Instagram, Facebook, and if you can, drop a comment on this episode and tell us what you think about it. Are you into this? Are you into horror films like this? Or what did you like and didn't like? Love to hear to you. Love to engage with you. And yeah, give us a rating if you can. And I will see you in the next one.